You know, I got to think that kids probably really, if they listen to this passage from the gospel, might really like it at first. Really like it. Because here, Jesus is finally on their side about one of the issues that is really important to kids, which is washing your hands before dinner. Here, Jesus tells them, you know, not important. You don't need to wash your hands before eating, much to the chagrin of grandparents everywhere. And germaphobes, too, I guess. In this passage, the Pharisees come blazing out against Christ. They see that Christ and his disciples, or at least his disciples, are not washing their hands before they eat. And they're kind of appalled by this because their own tradition, the tradition of the elders, declares that you wash your hands before you eat. Now, kids might like this passage until they realize that the issue the Pharisees have and the scribes have is that this isn't, it's not an issue of hygiene. It's not about getting the germs off your hands from doing a day of work and doing all these things. It's not about hygiene. It's actually an issue of purity, of ritual purity. According to the tradition of the elders, the idea was that if you did not wash your hands in a certain way, and the gospel tells us even further that if you did not wash certain vessels, certain pots, and certain cooking devices, and we didn't wash before you when you came home from the market, if you didn't do these things, you were unclean to a degree. And what this meant was that if you don't do these things, you're not standing in full fellowship with the rest of the people of God, or in full fellowship with God himself. You were, in a way, marginalized and kind of on the outside. So it's not a matter of hygiene, but a matter of purity. And this was a tradition that the Jewish elders handed down. And that's important for us to note, because what that means is that it's not fully a commandment of God, but something that the Pharisees and other elders took and kind of elaborated on it. I think the Reformers talked about it as they were putting a fence around the law. What that means is, let's say in Scripture, there's a law that says, on Sundays, you shall not watch the Green Bay Packers. That's the law. And it would just be good for us to obey that anytime. But that's what the law says. Let's pretend that that's what the law says. And that's a commandment by God. A tradition of the elders would be then to take that commandment, and in order to protect that commandment, make it bigger. So the tradition of the elders might say, okay, so we don't watch the Packers. What we're going to do is we're going to say the new commandment is to not watch any football on Sunday. So that's what the Pharisees, that's what the elders are doing. They had a commandment from God, but they're expounding it, they're making it bigger, and they're putting more of a burden on the people. This is what the elders are doing. But Jesus has a problem with this. He has a problem with this. And so Jesus, what he does is he goes to Scripture itself, and he blasts the Pharisees. We see this in verse 6 and 7. Jesus says to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain or in futility do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. Jesus, to use a word my grandma always used, lambasts the Pharisees as being hypocrites. He sees them, they're saying one thing. They're maybe even doing one thing. Their actions are one thing, but their heart is a completely different thing altogether. their actions don't match what their heart is. And if their heart was truly there, we would see something altogether different. They're honoring God with their lips, but it's not from their hearts. In other words, they're living, they're speaking, and they're acting as though all God desires is heartless obedience. As though all God desires is for us to follow a certain recipe, for us to follow a certain code, a formula, and then everything will turn out right. So if I do this, 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 and this, it doesn't matter what I truly believe on the inside. It doesn't matter what my heart is. As long as I do these things, everything will be fine. Everything will be okay. God will look at me as being righteous. But Jesus calls them a hypocrite. They're actors. They're saying one thing when their hearts really are another altogether. When we read the Gospels, what's helpful for us to do is to put our place in the place of the characters and then ask questions about ourselves. And here we really have two main actors in this passage. We have Jesus and we have the Pharisees. And we're not going to put ourselves in the place of Jesus, so we have to put ourselves in the place of the Pharisees. And so what we ask ourselves then is, well, how am I like a Pharisee in this case? How am I being a hypocrite in my life, like the Pharisees were themselves hypocrites? Do we seek to become righteous before God? Get on God's good side by cleaning our hands, doing something on the outside, saying the right things, maybe doing the right things? Do we try to get in on God's good side? Do we try to make ourselves righteous by even coming to church, holding certain positions, looking the right way to the rest of the community? But doing all these things while our hearts actually stand far from God. Maybe our Sunday behavior doesn't actually match our weekday lives, our weekday behaviors. In some of the verses that our lectionary skipped here, Jesus turns the conversation to food and passages and issues about food laws, and how the Jews had these same beliefs too, that certain things, if you ate them, they would make you unclean, as if bringing something into your body would then make you unclean ritually before God. And Jesus says, no, that's not actually the case. Jesus tells his disciples and those listening that it's not something from outside that makes you unclean. Instead, it's what's inside you that is what makes you unclean. We see this in verse 15 and then on to 21 and 22. It's the things that come out are what defile, make you unclean. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, avarices, wickednesses, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. In other words, everything bad. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. If you're a Pharisee and you're hearing this, it's bad news. Because if you're a Pharisee and this hits you a little bit, what you realize is like, oh darn, washing my hands isn't going to clean my heart. Going to synagogue every day isn't going to clean my heart. Doing the right things each and every day, and if I don't feel it, if it's not there in my heart, that's not going to clean my heart. So what are we supposed to do? What can we do? You know, if your hands are dirty, you just go wash them. You get some Goobigon or you get some good soap. Annie's got this, by the way, this really good smelling lavender soap from Target that I actually look forward to washing my hands because it smells so good. If your hands are dirty, you wash your hands. If your hair is dirty, you wash your hair. If your feet are dirty, you wash your feet. What do you do if your heart's dirty? You drink bleach? No. What do? If your heart is dirty? Because Jesus says here that it's from within that all these evil intentions come. Romans talk about how there is nothing good within us. There's nothing good about us. Nothing at all. We are all sinners. Our hearts are dirty. How can we possibly clean our hearts? There is only one thing we can do for our hearts, really, and that's to believe in Jesus. And as Lutherans, we understand that there's one thing we can consume that we can bring into our bodies that will, in fact, cleanse us. The body and blood of Jesus Christ, in, with, and under, bread and wine, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That is our spiritual bleach, you could say. It is our cleansing. It is the way that God fulfills the word from Ezekiel where he says, I will give you a new heart. I'll take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that goes after the Lord, that is remade in God's eyes. Blessed be the Lord who today offers us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, that we might continue to be his and come to him in faith. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your many gifts that you offer to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the faith that you've blessed us with. We ask that you would strengthen us in faith. We ask today and every day that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would lead us to wake up in repentance, coming before you, knowing where we have fallen and knowing that you, in fact, forgive. Forgive us now, O Lord. Nourish us with your holy meal. We pray this in your name. Amen.